Years ago, when I first started my proper job, when I started working in research, I got caught out with one of the oldest tricks in the book for having a laugh at the expense of the new boy. I was sent down from the lab where I had just started working to the stores, and I was told to go and ask for a long wait. Fortunately, I learned quickly what sort of people they were I was working with. I got a bit wary, so when I was sent down to the stores to get a benzene ring, I knew better. And that's one you will only get if you can remember some of your chemistry from school days. Seems there are people around who delight in doing that sort of thing. Just sort of telling you to do something that's actually not possible. There are some artists around who love to paint things that just aren't right. You may have seen the work of M.C. Escher, which really does your head in if you look at it too carefully. He draws things that are physically, in the real world, impossible. So you've got people who tell you to do something that's actually not possible, or show you a picture of something that's not physically possible. When it's a work colleague, you kind of get to take it in your stride. When it's an artist, you acknowledge that it's clever, but you don't really worry about it. But what about if the Bible seems to be telling you to do something that's impossible? I mentioned earlier that twice in the Bible, God says, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." So in Leviticus and in 1 Peter. Be holy as God is holy. We're continuing our series this morning, Words of Life, looking at some of the words which are at the heart of the Christian faith, but which we maybe use without really thinking what they mean. And this morning, we come to that word, holy. And it is an important word to get our heads around, because it's the word which the Bible applies to God more than any other word. God is holy. He is the Holy One. But it's also a word that the Bible applies to us. And because we know that God doesn't play games with us, God can't be telling us to do something impossible like he would be if he was telling us to be all-knowing, we need to make sure that we understand how that word holy works, what it means, how it makes sense both of God and of us. So to help us do that, to help us get our bearings, we're going to turn to one of the places where God says, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." And to Leviticus chapter 19. Steve is going to come and possibly be the first person in history to do a Bible reading from Leviticus in a 10:45.
Reading is from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 121 of your pew Bibles. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. When you sacrifice a fellowship of offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. It shall be eaten on the day you sacrifice it or on the next day. Anything left over until the third day must be burned. If any of it is eaten on the third day, it is impure and will not be accepted. Whoever eats it will be held responsible because they have desecrated what is holy to the Lord. They must be cut off from their people. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of the field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." This is the word of the Lord.
So let's start with the more obvious thing there. Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, God is holy. We've already been reminded this morning, Nick has already read that, that famous passage from Isaiah chapter 6, where God speaks about his holiness. The prophet Isaiah had a vision of God. He saw the Lord surrounded by seraphim, those glorious angelic beings, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And as you may know, that sort of holy, holy, holy is a kind of Hebrew way of speaking, because each holy intensifies the previous one. A bit like saying very, very, very. So God isn't just holy. God isn't just holy, holy, or completely holy. He is holy, holy, holy. God is so holy that language just can't really express it. But what does that mean? Because in the context in Isaiah, it might sound as though it means that God is utterly majestic and awesome. That's true, of course. But if that is what holy means, how can God tell us to be like it? I mean, I have seen myself in a mirror. And majestic and awesome were not the first words that sprang to my mind. Maybe you can relate to that. So if it doesn't mean that, maybe it means utterly moral and good. And of course, it's true of God. He is perfectly good and right in everything he does and says and thinks. The trouble is, if we apply that to ourselves all too easily, it becomes kind of being holier than thou. Someone who makes a big issue of never doing anything wrong. That's what the Pharisees of Jesus' time were like, and he didn't exactly hold them up as role models for us. Now, you may know, if you've been here over the summer, that it's become an almost obligatory part of the sermon to put up a bit of Greek. Well, this morning, we're going Hebrew. The word in Isaiah 6, the word that's generally used in the Old Testament, is the word kadosh, which means holy, but the root of it is to be set apart. Holiness isn't first and foremost about being good. It is really about being separate, being set apart. If God is holy, he is separate. If God is holy, 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 he is completely and utterly separate, set apart. But what is God separate from? I think the main answer to that has to be that God is separate from sin. God is utterly cut off from anything that is wrong. In Isaiah 59, God told the people, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." So there's that kind of secondary sense in which for God to be holy means that he is utterly good, just, and right, because he is completely separate from anything that is wrong. Now, of course, in itself, that gives us a bit of a problem, because we are sinful people. And that's what we're going to be thinking about next Sunday morning. But God, utterly holy, so utterly and completely cut off from anything that is sinful, anything that is wrong. But whilst that might help us to understand something of what it means for God to be holy, what about us? How can God tell us to be holy like him? Let's go back to the beginning of that reading. "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." So having told us that God is holy, and having told us that his people, as his people, we should be holy, the rest of Leviticus 19 kind of gives us a load of snapshots of what holiness looks like. And it might come as a surprise, because most of what Leviticus 19 talks about isn't obviously religious stuff. It's very, very practical. Actually, if you go through Leviticus 19, it kind of references all of the Ten Commandments, but kind of shows what they look like practically. So holiness, it means that there are things that we need to respect. Each of you must respect your mother and father. You must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Obviously picks up the fifth and fourth commandments. And they're a reminder that holiness is not some private, individualistic thing. Holiness is rooted in how we live as community. It involves caring for those who are older, treating them as important. It involves having times when we step aside from all the busyness that fills our lives and we make time for rest and for coming together for worship. There's things that we need to respect. There are things that we actually need to reject. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. That one picks up on the second commandment. And it's important because worshipping false gods will always lead to disappointment and frustration. False gods suck the life out of you and give you nothing back. And if you worship false gods, then by default, you are turning away from the Lord. You cannot have both. And again, it's not just an individualistic thing. Because if you start to worship idols, you very easily pull other people to do the same. There are some things which you really need to remember. Then you sacrifice a fellowship offering to the Lord. Sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. So in the Old Testament law, it laid down detailed instructions about how God's people were to approach him. And part of that was this fellowship meal, which they ate together in God's presence. So again, this is about holiness lived out in community. But it's a reminder that it is actually for God to say how he should be worshipped. If God's laid down instructions about that, we are not free to ignore them if they don't seem to tie in with what we feel like doing. Things to respect, things to reject, things to remember, and there are some responsibilities. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Now, of course, the world was different then. Looking around, I guess that none of us have much in the way of fields which we have to harvest, and I suspect that none of us actually have a vineyard either. But it was one of the ways in which Israel were to provide for the poor. So this is a reminder that holiness involves caring for the poor, because we know that God cares for them. But if you noticed, three times in that reading, there was a little phrase, I am the Lord your God. These are things that God's people were to do because they were his people. They were the things that would mark him out as his people, and they were so often different from the way the societies around them worked. And if we had gone on through the rest of Leviticus 19, we'd have come across that phrase or something very similar another 10 times. So we'd have found, do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not you do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. They're all about how God's people were to live their day-to-day lives as community. That was where they were to show his holiness. So to be holy was to be set apart. It was to be different from the societies around. It was to live in a way which reflected God's character. And it was to do that in community. In actual fact, I would say that biblically, you cannot be holy on your own. Because holiness is about how we live out that life of God. We reflect his holiness in our community. So being holy isn't this kind of... The idea that people so often get is, you know, being holy is kind of rather otherworldly. It's kind of all to do with living in a stained glass window or something like that. It's not. It is very down to earth. But it still means being separate. Separating ourselves as God's people from everything that doesn't reflect his character. Separating ourselves from sin. We belong on that side. Now, it might sound as though all of that means that God wants his people to kind of separate themselves into a little ghetto and have nothing to do with the rest of the world. But it's not that at all. We live in the world. We're supposed to serve the world. We're supposed to be lights to the world. But we cut ourselves off from the sin in the world. One of the ways in which it's been explained is that we're supposed to be insulated and not isolated from the world. But we're meant to be cut off from what's wrong. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to admit that still leaves me with a bit of a question. So I know what it means for God to be holy. He is completely and utterly separate from sin. So he is completely and utterly transcendently good and perfect. And God says, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. So I know that my life is supposed to reflect God's holiness, shown in all the sort of ways that Leviticus 19 talks about. But I look at myself and I feel so far from that. In fact, if I'm honest, set against God, I could never be called holy, could I? But in the New Testament, we find something that when you know all of that, is frankly amazing. I don't know if you've ever read through the epistles in the New Testament, but you find that Paul starts his letter to the Ephesians by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus. He starts Philippians in the same way. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. To Colossians, to God's holy people in Colossae. And it kind of makes you think, these early Christians must have been very special people. But they weren't. In each of those churches, there were issues which Paul had to address. So how could Paul call them holy? It was because when someone becomes a Christian, many amazing things happen. But one of the amazing things that happen is that when someone becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live in them and marks them out as belonging to God. They are set apart from God. Sin no longer is the controlling thing in life. We're set apart from God. And that means that God makes that person holy. So this morning, if you are a Christian, God says, you are his and you are holy. You can't make yourself holy. No one can do that. But God declares you holy. So in 1 Peter, when it quotes from Leviticus 19 and says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. What it really means is, you are holy, so just live it out. You don't have to strive to make yourself holy. You just have to be what you are. It's amazing. I think this is just one of the amazing things that the Bible tells us. Because God does not say to me, right, Graham, you've become a Christian, so you better work hard at being holy. What God says is, right, Graham, you've become a Christian, You're holy now. I've given you all that you need in order to live a holy life. So just get on with it. Now, of course, I have my part to play. But I'm actually playing from the winning side rather than from the losing side. I've got to live out that life. But it's a life which God gives me the ability to live. It's this new life that God has given me as one of his holy people. I don't belong to the world anymore. I don't live by the world's rules anymore. I am one of God's holy people. It means living a holy life in community because we are God's holy people. And it means, actually, that the broken society around us should be able to see something of God's wonderful holiness in Christ Church. Because that is what we are. So what do we have to do? We've just got to do it. God is holy. He is utterly cut off from sin. And in his goodness and his mercy and his greatness, he has made us his. And he has separated us for himself. He has taken us away from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We are his holy people. So, Christchurch, let's be holy. Let's be holy in all we do. Because we can. Because God says we can.